Ms. Mooring is also here with us. We are going to proceed with the scheduled oral argument today. Ms. Mooring has been here since early morning waiting. And we're asking, I'm trying at this point in time to move her closer so that she will be able to listen to your argument. Do you wish to reserve any time in rebuttal? Okay, you have 5 minutes. We understand that you have filed timely your briefs and, of course, and arguments in there, so they are preserved for you.
Yes, sir. And I, before I get started, I want to apologize for having prematurely tried to go to a hearing in Lexington, which I understand is coming up in October. So I appreciate your patience letting me get back from Lexington to my office. And to Ms. Mooring, I sincerely apologize for eating up more of your morning than you should have had eaten up.
Well, Mr. Prater, let's hear your argument. We appreciate your apology and understand that some circumstances occur.
Worsening of his physical condition, and there is no evidence that Mr. Jones simply had no basis to stop his efforts to find light-duty work. And so the full commission, at an absolute minimum, erred in not terminating Mr. Jones's benefits effective with his termination of efforts to find his additional light-duty work effective June 20, 2011. I know it doesn't sound like a particularly long amount of time, and I know it doesn't involve a particularly significant amount of money, but it does have a significant principle that the Court of Appeals should appreciate and should act on.
Mr. Priddy, this is Judge McCullough. Mr. Priddy, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, Judge McCullough has a question, please.
At what point, because he returned to work for his former employer, so at what point did he have the knowledge that he would be returning to work with his former employer?
To my understanding, Your Honor, it was something on the range of a day. I mean, it was effective at his release to full duty, and so as the employer, as far as the evidence establishes, it was dependent on his being released to full duty, and so there's nothing in the evidence that establishes that that Mr. Jones had any period of any significant matter at all in terms of when he was going to be released to full duty.
And where I'm going with that is it seems point. The employer had told him in a month you're coming back to work. It seems pointless to tell someone, go find another job for that 1 month and engage in this meaningless exercise of interviews. Because what employer is going to take someone on for that month? So it would be a meaningless exercise.
Well, while that might well be true, as I understand the record, the trigger was his release to light duty, and his release to light duty was, as I understand it, immediately before July 21.
Okay.
I mean, it was not something that he was given, as I recall the record. Sitting here, that he was given any appreciable notice that he was going to be released to light duty, because he was going to be allowed to return to work upon his release to full duty.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Sort of working backwards from this 31-day issue concerning Mr. Jones's temporary partial award, we also maintain that Mr. Jones, when you look at, and I've recognized it, that the determination that the claimant has made an adequate marketing effort is a fact finding. But the matter is, when you look at this, this is one of those rare factual moments where the evidence quite simply does not support the conclusion that Mr. Jones actually made a good faith effort to find light duty work. The basis on which we assert that is in the argument, and I won't try to read it to you, but he had he graduated from college. He had a career that involved music as a music teacher. He had other opportunities that were suggested to him in education. And he also had some experience with cutting hair. He made one effort to, or he went to one haircutting establishment and made an application there, and there was nothing forthcoming, and that was the only one of his skills that he attempted to market. He didn't do music, and he really did not establish any good faith effort to get into education, which he had been a part of. Is the degree to which the effort to market his residual capacity at all was, we submit, just going through the motions so that he would be eligible for his temporary partial disability benefits.
Counsel?
Yes.
This is Judge Decker. Is there any realistic hope that somebody who's been out of education for essentially two decades is going to likely be able to get a job teaching?
Well, Your Honor, at least he would be looking for a job in a skill set that he had. And while it may well be long shot, and perhaps any of the shots that he could have taken but chose not to pull the trigger on, maybe they would have all been long shots. But
so your point is he needs to go through the motions.
I wouldn't say that it was he needs to go through the motions. He needs all of job marketing is in essence, to one degree or another, going through the motions. But when a person doesn't do anything to try to go into skills that he actually has, and is essentially just checking off times, he's not making a good faith. And we believe it is something that can be determined on that he did not make a good faith effort to market his residual capacity.
Just a pretty, you're down to within your last minute of your 15 minutes. I know you don't have a clock there to watch, but just want to let you be aware of that.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will reserve what's left of my time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Priddy. Ms. Mooring is here, and she's standing in front of the bench, and we want to be sure that as she argues, you're able to hear her as she begins her argument. If you're not able to hear her, please let us know.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ms. Mooring?
May it please the court. Thank you, Chief Judge Felton and the court, for your time this morning. I am Charlene Mooring, and I represent the appellee, Mr. Jones, in this matter. And I'm assuming, Mr. Priddy, you can hear me, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
If I may, and I will try to be as brief as possible. The appellant argues that this case is rare, and that this court essentially should retry the facts, should reverse the credibility determinations and the factual findings of the deputy commissioner and the full commission, and retry the facts on their decision as it relates to our marketing and causation. Well, it is our position that this court is not here to retry the facts, but to determine if there was a legal error that was made on the commission or by the deputy commissioner below that should be addressed here. And it's our assertion that it.
Can we turn to the first argument that Mr. Priddy made, which is it's a brief period of time.
That is correct.
But the record does show he made no marketing efforts. And so the question in my mind is, if he had some kind of assurance he was going to get this job back, or assurance perhaps that he would be returned to full duty, then I don't see the point of this sort of charade of during this month go through this meaningless ritual. But on the other hand, just because you have the possibility of returning to your old job doesn't absolve you, because that may or may not pan out, so it doesn't absolve you of the need to keep looking. So what in the record can you point me to that makes his failure to market for that brief period of time reasonable?
Several things, Your Honor, and I'm glad you pointed that out. First of all, what was not pointed out was that Mr. Jones, the appellee, was working at Advantage Sales Marketing 10 to 30 hours per week. He had He was marketing 10 to 30 hours per week. He was working 10 to 30 hours per week. He had registered with the Virginia Employment Commission. He had follow up, even though we have this month where he didn't follow up with any job leads, but prior to that, he had followed up with job leads from the commission, that's at 14. And what's important, and this is why I believe, and the appellee believes that this court isn't here to retry, what's important is that the court, the commission, had the opportunity to view him and view his testimony. And in that testimony, Mr. Jones indicated that he had monthly contact with his employer, and that he was advising his employer, there was two individuals that he was making monthly contact with, letting them know that he wanted to get back to work. Mr. Jones, the appellee in this matter, was not a $10 hour guy. His pre-injury average weekly wage was $1,257.00. He had taken a $10 an hour job just to get by. In addition to that, he was also looking for work. He had registered with
But he didn't do any of that for that. So, you know, if his physician is saying, hey, once we get you back in here, I think I'll be able to certify you to full-time, or if the employer had said, you're coming back in a month, then I could see someone saying, well, why would I mean, in an interview, I'd have to tell the employer, I'm only going to be here for 2 weeks or 1 week.
Exactly, Your Honor. In addition, in fact, the reason why Mr. Priddy indicated that there was this music degree that the appellee had. Well, in the record on note on 18, he got that degree. It had been a while since he had worked in that. He had been applying for management positions. When he found out about the job with the music degree, it was just before he was about to start that work. That's in the record. So clearly...
Well, and there's no evidence in the record he had the required certifications, at least for public schools, to teach.
And that is correct, Your Honor. And he was working in management positions, so all of his job search efforts, which counsel at the hearing went through, were in the management positions. He was looking for co-manager positions, positions which he was comfortable with. So it's our position that there is evidence in the record that he had a reasonable expectation to go back to work. He was in monthly contact with his employer, letting them know, I'm ready to get back in there. Do you have
to- what your opposing counsel pointed out is there really wasn't much lag time between he gets certified or he's released to full time by the doctor, and he almost immediately then gets this his old job back.
And has been working it ever since.
Right. But that still doesn't help me with that 30-day period where he ceased all marketing efforts.
Well, it's our position that he didn't cease all marketing efforts. If you look at the record as a whole, in the form of whether or not this person had a reasonable expectation to return to work, if you look at the record as a whole, which is what we believe the deputy commissioner did and the full commission did, you have an individual who was hired pre-injury up to full wage, was making monthly contact with his employer, was working in addition to that, had did some job leads, and had...
And I have no problem with
those facts. We believe that... It's
what he did before. I mean, you can always say someone should have done more, but he is working part-time, he registered with a VEC, and he's got that log. So I don't have a... Under the deferential standard of review, I don't have any real issue with prior to that 30-day period. That's the only one that I... trying to figure out if there was an issue.
I think, Your Honor, what it goes to is whether or not you will affirm the credibility determination that this claimant, Mr. Jones, mm-hmm. had a reasonable expectation to go back to work. The record will reflect that he made monthly contact with his employer at 15 and 16 in relation to him getting back to work. The record will reflect that as soon as he was asked about that, and eventually you were rehired to come back to work. Question, yes. And when was that? Answer, excuse me. I think that was August, sometime in July 2000. Yes, it was somewhere around there. So directly when he was asked about, I was making the contact with my employer and then I returned to work. Based upon the credibility determination of the deputy commissioner and full commission, we believe it was reasonable for them to find he had a reasonable expectation under those circumstances to expect to return to work to his employer, and he has since, even though this litigation has spanned several years, remained at his employer.
You need to get a water.
Oh, no, I'm fine, thank you. If I may just touch briefly on the first argument, and that's in relation to causation, it is our position, but the same thing applies. The employer has asked this court to remand the case yet again to address the issue of fact. It is the appellee's position that's not necessary. The full commission was told by this court to issue a decision explicitly addressing the issue of causation. They have now did that. It has been, thank you, it has now been three decisions, one by the deputy commissioner and two decisions by the full commission, in which they have made clear that they agree with the treating physician on the issue of causation. So we believe, again, that this court is not here to retry the facts, that the commission really feels that causation exists in this case, and therefore that finding should be appealed. Thank you for your time today, and I apologize for my
friend. don't apologize. It's spring. Mr. Pretty, you just have a few seconds left in your rebuttal.
I'll waive that, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Well, then that concludes the argument. We appreciate Mr. Pretty, despite these the circumstances that you were under. This has been scheduled for some time. Ms. Mooring is here ready to argue, so we wanted to give you a chance to orally argue or either to waive oral argument after we couldn't find you earlier. So we...
I appreciate that, Your Honor, and I, again, apologize to the court and Ms. Mooring.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pretty. You have a nice day, and Ms. Mooring, will come down and shake your hand from the bench. Thank you, Mr. Pretty.
Thank you, sir.